Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jordan Gonsalves, and I'm a journalist. Join me on my new podcast, But We Loved, coming May 15th, where queer elders recount the amazing history they've lived through.
In the middle of Wall Street, they stopped traffic. They were doing a die-in.
And in the process, share little gems of wisdom for the next generation.
The key is to understanding yourself, learning to love and embrace yourself.
You can listen to But We Loved May 15th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of How Do You Write Like You're Running? Nope. How Do You Zite Like You're Running Out of Time? Sorry. I just went straight for it, you know? I'm Hamilton up. I'm Hamilton deaf. I can't stop.
Your kids like Hamilton?
I'm nonstop. They don't like the historical
inaccuracies, I think is what you said.
Yeah. They said that like the racial stuff is like too delusional.
The willful ignorance of the narrative unfolding before the audience felt right.
They were like, it's definitely like Obama era, you know.
Right. This
white
is pre-my birth.
Yeah. My 4-year-old walked in and was like, what is this shit?
He's like, really? Okay.
For real?
All right.
Hey, I'm Jack O'Brien. That's Miles Gray. This is What's Trending. Mm-hmm. We are looking at Will and Jada are trending.
Yep. That red table talk.
That is Will Smith, uh-huh. Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yes.
A married couple, I understand.
Open marriage. It's been an open marriage, which is why she was having a relationship with August Alsina.
August Alsina, who is closer to her son's age than her age by quite a bit.
Yeah, it was an interesting thing where, you know, a red table talks are always where things just put it all out there. And this one particularly was Will and Jada being very open about their relationship. I haven't seen it, but the takes on Twitter make it seem like it's somewhere between cringy as fuck and damn, that was weird to watch.
Definitely worth watching.
But they're like, some people were saying like it was just weird because they were both trying to be like nonchalant about like not caring that she was with this guy or whatever. And it was, I don't know. I mean, either way, like that's their prerogative to put their business out there however they want to. But then
I think some things are like so taboo that like you can't see people be nonchalant about it without like projecting your own shit onto them. So like seeing somebody like, I can see that also being the case, even if they are truly nonchalant, like people just being like, well, she must be jealous or like he must be pissed. And
yeah,
it's just like,
I mean, there was a part where they say we ride or die together, bad marriage forever.
Did they really?
Yeah. And it's like cringy. It's weird because it's almost like I don't know if I want that relationship. You know, like maybe they make it.
Right.
But well, this is the, inherently the deal with like celeb obsessed culture. It's like, this yeah. is even, I don't know if Jada and Will even want to do that, but they know it's something that the culture and the zeitgeist will eat up. So they do whatever. I know this. I don't have enough time to do that because I'm going to try and learn Hamilton all on my own.
I think some people treat celebrities like, you know, they're Greek gods. And like, this is just an example to think about a human relationship that is of interest. Like, it could be anybody. It could be the person down the street. These are just the people that are the shorthand for you to talk to other people about and like get your thoughts out there. So
yeah,
no shade to anybody who wants to think and talk about Will and Jada.
What it, it's, but it seems the more I read, everyone is just like, it seems like Will Smith comes out of there just really feeling hurt. Or August Alsina, who's like, I loved her. And Jada describes their relationship with, or her relationship with August Alsina as an entanglement.
Ooh.
So, you know, a lot. I think a lot of feelings were hurt. People may show them or not show them, but it is what it is.
Mm. Hashtag buy Goya is trending.
Yeah.
So Goya is the food company. They have all sorts of different products and
everything. If you cook, you know, if you have any kind of Latin dishes you cook, you have Goya in the home, but not everybody does. This is the deal. Like, it's the CEO had basically come out and was like just doing a dick solo on Trump, just being like, this guy's great. And people were like, how the fuck is the head of Goya gonna be out here praising Donald Trump? It doesn't make sense. So a lot of people are like, yo, fuck that. Like, we're boycotting that. Like, this is a brand for the community and you're gonna stand with Donald Trump? No. So the Buy Goya hashtag is in response to people boycotting it for that remark. And it's all these like conservatives who are like, yes, Goya, blah. It's like, motherfucker, you don't know what Goya is.
Right. Yeah, yeah. That, what the fuck are you talking really about? Knowing his target demo, the CEO there.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I love the Mojo marinade for my chickens. It's like, no. So, you know, another culture war moment where a capitalist has to reveal his mask and take his mask off and be like, yep, so I'm on the side of just fuck poor people. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of poor people, Robert De Niro is also trending because he is poor now.
Dude,
right?
This guy is fucking trash. I don't know enough about him either way. But we talked about how the Nobu Group, which is like himself, Matsuhisa, the chef behind it, and another Hollywood producer and some other people like own this hospitality group. It's hotels, it's restaurants. And they got between according to like the SBA paperwork, anywhere between $11 and $27 million in paycheck support. And everyone's like, what the fuck? This dude's worth $500,000 and he's asking for all this money from taxpayers. So now we find out that his lawyer is out here basically saying, like, this is the headline on one of the articles. Robert De Niro's lawyer says the actor's finances have been ruined by the coronavirus. It's like, have they really? This man, everybody Googled his net worth immediately, $500 million. He even has said it's around there. That he's basically doing this, according to his ex-wife's lawyer, because he does not want to pay her anything, and he's trying to use coronavirus as an excuse to walk out on paying any kind of spousal support. On top of banning his ex-wife and two children from like his New York compound, like throughout all of this chaos. I don't know, man. This is fucking real sad day.
That's
for
like, that's next level when you are banning your own kids or just like turning your back on your own kids.
Now,
like
that's what the lawyer says. Of course, they're going to be like, he would never do that. So I don't know where this all lands, right. But I do know this. Yeah. His lawyer, basically, in trying to paint this picture of this like poor and destitute, iconic American actor, said that, you know, his accounts and business manager says the best case for Mr. De Niro, this is a quote verbatim, okay? The best case for Mr. De Niro, if everything starts to turn around this year, he's going to be lucky if he makes $7.5 million this year.
Oh my goodness.
That's what this motherfucker said out loud.
so in touch with the lives of other Americans.
Uh-huh. Oh, no.
I mean, you guys could be lucky if you make 7.5 mil.
Your Honor?
What do you want him to do? Starve? Anyways, he also got that PPP money. So shout out to him. Well deserved, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's just really weird. It's just the same shit fucking Giuliani pulled too. Like, it's just saying like, you know, I don't have all this income now. So because I don't have this income, well, don't look at what's in my bank account. Look at what I'm making right now. I'm willing to share what I'm making right now, not what I'm hiding and hoarding away on the side. That's mine for me to not have when my physical body expires.
Yeah. Just too many things to be outraged. But there's a bottleneck of just like our sensory intake systems of just like there's so much shit to be outraged by.
I mean, then there's no reason really to even be outraged by Robert De Niro. Like, more in this, unless you're like
an example.
You're like, God damn it, I was rooting for Robert De Niro.
I was rooting for you.
We were all. Get that Tyra Banks meme out.
One of the 200 great moments of culture on Last Culturista is one of my favorite podcasts. And they put it on. They just had their 200th episode, also produced by super producer Anna Hosnier. It is a 3-episode wild ride. And you know how I feel about lists.
Anybody with pop culture mind for anything, you must listen because these Matt and Bowen are on another fucking level with that shit.
Oh my God.
If only one day we could be on Las Colchis.
I know. One of these days.
One of these days we'll be on one of these big shows.
And Greyhound is trending, not because of the bus company, but because that is a new Tom Hanks movie, apparently.
Is it based on a book?
It's based on a book. It is Tom Hanks' first screenplay credit because he adapted a book to the screen. Apparently, you know, it's okay. It's not great. Pretty stripped down.
What is it about?
It's a World War II movie. World War II naval drama.
Okay.
So... I know you were just saying that we need more World War II naval dramas.
I know. About white men.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, apparently very charismatic. This guy, Tom Hanks. I got sucked into a couple like list articles. Again, it's been too long since I worked at Cracked and I'm just getting list lonely.
I need
me lists. Set list trolls. But somebody ranked the top 25 performances by him. And it seems somewhat arbitrary to me. Like Apollo 13 was number one. I don't remember
that's
that
not
being...
memorable. Philadelphia is more memorable to me than Apollo 13.
They had Philadelphia at 10. They had Big at 8. Big's one of the greats
Josh
of all
Baskin?
Time, man. Josh Baskin?
Is fucking...
Baskin. Come on,
was
man.
Was that his name? Josh Baskin?
Yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah. And Zoltar, the other?
That machine fucking freaked me the fuck out.
Oh, yeah,
and
dude.
Then I remember the first time I had ever gone to New York, I wanted to go to F.A.O. Schwartz because I wanted to be on that piano. The shit was not there, and I had a tantrum.
Dun, dun, dun,
and they had to call the police.
How?
Because I drove one of those little Mercedes go-karts right out the window. I'm like, fuck this place.
I went in there, too, looking for that shit. How... was that not just front and center? How did they miss
it? Was it was under
impact
repair
of that scene?
Under repair.
Got it.
Yeah, because I remember they also had one in Vegas, and they also had that like foot piano there. Because like for the longest time, that was like the greatest ad for F.A.O. Schwartz was that scene.
Oh man, it's the only reason I ever knew about that place. When I went, it's basically like a Macy's, but only a toy section. It's just one big. One
like
big,
like
toy
Duncan's
store.
Toy chest from Home Alone 2. You know? Wasn't that what it's called?
What's your favorite? I actually don't remember. What's your favorite
Duncan's
Hanks
toy
movie?
Chest. What's my favorite what? Tom Hanks movie?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I don't know, man. I don't really like think of like Tom Hanks as someone's like, damn, that's my favorite. I almost don't need to look at a list. What's yours?
I think Big is my favorite. You know, as much as I like to shit talk Forrest Gump, I end up enjoying the hell out of it whenever I watch it, but it is very, very problematic. Yeah, Big's probably my favorite. I also love Saving Private Ryan.
Mine's probably Cloud Atlas. I would say Cloud Atlas is my
favorite.
No. That show was so weird.
I was like, what?
Wasn't he Asian at some point in that?
Oh, Toy Story 4 is my favorite Tom Hanks movie.
You know what's kind of weird? I don't know what I like. You know what? I'm a shitty bro. I really liked Saving Private Ryan when that was out.
Yeah, me too.
It's because I was such a World War II nerd, like any fucking kid in like with the History Channel on in the background. And not, you know, and romanticizing that period without looking at it fully for what it was. But I think it was something about the filmmaking, because up until that point, the war films I had seen were very much like, whoa, shit's fucking tight. And I was like, wait, the guys just fell down the second those doors opened on the beaches of Normandy. I'm like, didn't they? Oh, huh. And I think it's like a 14-year-old, like, I sort of was like, that's like,
that is,
it's less like a movie and more like human life. But I think deep down, the Toy Story films also got to have a spot there, because that's like the one Pixar franchise I've still gone to see after like aging out of the demographic.
Yeah. Toy Story 4 is my favorite Toy Story. And
is it good? The one
Tom
with like
Hanks
the spoon dude?
Yeah.
Because the last one I saw was 3. I was drunk. Okay. I'm not going to lie. I will be honest. I did have a little too many margaritas at the El Torito Cantina in Sherman Oaks when I saw it. But that fucked me up when I thought they were all going to die.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I'm good with that being ending it right there. But now that you're saying you're co-signing number 4.
Oh, big time.
All right.
Yeah. I felt the exact same way. I was like, 3, like, how can you end a franchise more perfect than that? And then they did. I remember we wrote an article at Cracked about how the implications of the Toy Story universe are so fucked up, because like the toys live forever. And so they're just like getting put in a garbage dump where they're like immobilized and can't move. And then we wrote that like in 2008, and then Toy Story 3 came out and was about that. They're like, yeah, man, you can go to the dump and just like live a horrifying waking nightmare for eternity.
Right.
Or, you know, it was pretty dope. I admire that they just steered into that tailspin, and Toy Story 4 also has some pathos in the background, but also one of my favorite movies of the year.
All right. Also, got to mention That Thing You Do. I have to mention that.
That Thing You Do.
I like that. I can watch that over and I can watch that a bunch and just be laugh about it.
Mm. Damn, this list gives A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood one of his top. They put that as his fourth best performance. So,
jeez.
I'm gonna have to check that shit out.
All right.
Well, Miles, it's been a week, man.
Oh yeah,
what a week!
Been a real one.
We've broken up. We've gotten back together.
Breakups to makeups.
That's right.
No, we're not. But maybe we are. Who knows? The mystery
continues. Made up.
Made up. Yeah. Right, will we have a red table talk soon?
That's the question. We should.
Zach, you're like, I was entangled with another network.
Entanglement one time. Miles, where can people find you?
You know, y'all already know. Miles of Gray everywhere. At Miles of Gray. Wherever. Go.
Find me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. That's going to do it for this week. We hope you guys are well. Be kind to each other. Be kind to yourselves. Don't do nothing about white supremacy. And we'll be back on Monday with a whole new podcast. We'll talk to you then. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jordan Gonsalves, and I'm a journalist. Join me on my new podcast, But We Loved, coming May 15th, where queer elders recount the amazing history they've lived through.
In the middle of Wall Street, they stopped traffic. They were doing a die-in.
And in the process, share little gems of wisdom for the next generation.
The key is to understanding yourself, learning to love and embrace yourself.
You can listen to But We Loved May 15th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.